Part 2, Chapter 9, Learning to Fly. By the spring of 1981, it had become quite clear to me that I had to move out of DCM. Unfortunately, a five-year stint in plant administration was not exactly the most marketable work experience. When I scoured the newspapers, most job opportunities seemed to be in areas like finance or marketing. My experience was irrelevant to both. The occasional administration manager's job required a 40-year-old, and I was not even 24. A mentor within the system suggested that I move to the computer division of the DCM group that manufactured microprocessor-based systems. It was easier said than done. There were solid walls between DCM's different divisions, and you needed a godfather to scale them. Around the same time, someone suggested that I meet Anil Dang, an export manager, who, as his reporting line was different, was outside Jupiter's path. Maybe he could help. Being an ex-management trainee himself, he was sympathetic when I met him. He thought the idea of seeking an internal transfer from one DCM unit to another was futile. He suggested that I explore employment possibilities with a startup named HCL. He knew the founders there. Specifically, he was willing to give me an introduction to the head of human resources, a man named George Korath. When I met Korath, he gave me two pieces of information. The only position HCL was hiring for was entry-level salespeople, and the guaranteed monthly salary would be 40% lower than what DCM was paying me at the time. There was the possibility of earning commission on sales, but that income would be variable, and in fact, it would take a year to determine how much commission I had earned. This meant that for at least a year, Sushmita and I would have serious cash flow problems. She was still at college, and occasionally, we also needed to send some money home. There was a third angle to the whole dilemma. The distance I would have to commute every day would be four times what I used to, and that meant increased fuel costs. But there were silver linings to the cloud. Switching over to sales would allow me to learn new job skills and give me a new life away from the politics of a decadent smokestack system that had already condemned me to the electric chair. If I made enough sales calls using my own motorbike every day, the mileage reimbursements for that could cover the cost of the extra commute as well. The key question in all this then really was I ready to take a 40% cut in salary? Sometimes, in our moments of conflict, we come across a sign that in a flash helps us to reach a decision which hours of frustrating reasoning cannot achieve. Almost magically, options become clear. One evening, while walking in Connaught Circus, I saw a book with a rather unusual cover. It showed a bird in flight, wings outstretched. The book was Jonathan Livingston Seagull by Richard Bach. Impulsively, I bought the book and began reading it as soon as I reached home. I couldn't put it down once I started reading. The protagonist of the book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, taught me that life's true purpose is not to live to earn. It's about having the courage to take flight. Sushmita also read the book, and suddenly the decision we had to take was clear. We would take the risk, a leap into the future. Cash flow became unimportant. If I did well, would be able to make up the loss in income through sales commissions. If I did not, it didn't matter. We would figure things out. After all, in another year, she would have completed her studies and could get a job. I resigned from DCM. The system quietly accepted it. My staff gave me a loving, private farewell, and I crossed over from a company that had started in the 19th century to one that had a toehold in the 21st. On 1st July 1981, I reported for work at HCL's Spartan office in Nehru Place, New Delhi, and the first thing I realized was that I knew nothing about computers or about selling. Like Jonathan Livingston Seagull's initial flights were very rough, My early days at HCL were uncomfortable too. Jonathan learned to soar and glide and dive and catch a thermal only after some time. It took me a while to adjust to life as a door-to-door salesman. But soon, there was no looking back. For the next 3 decades, the ever-changing world of computers and computer technology beckoned and fascinated me. And for all this, I have only one man to thank, Brihaspati Dev Pathak. I learned the basics of selling at HCL from my boss R.K. Gupta. Every morning, he would give me a prospect list, and I spent the whole day going from office to office, trying to convince people to buy a 2-floppy drive computer with 64 kilobytes of memory, a display unit, and a dot matrix printer for nearly 4 lakhs. Sometimes, I met complete cold calls on potential first-time users, small businessmen who run a factory or a wholesale trading business. Occasionally, my calls were to medium-sized enterprises and quite often to government departments. I worked for HCL very briefly. Though I liked the informality of the place, the company did not have the level of customer focus that I felt was required. We are focusing on the first-time user segment of the market, and that required a tremendous amount of hand-holding. Frustrated with the company's aggressive selling style and low customer focus, a dozen or so of us moved away to join PSI Data Systems, headquartered in Bangalore. It was a startup that had remained low-key for years and was now revamping its operations with fresh capital infusion and was keen to hire new talent. During my years at PSI, I sold computers in Delhi and places like Jaipur, Udaipur, Lucknow, Rai Bareli. I visited many dusty little towns, traveling there on my bike, by train, by auto rickshaws hired for the day, and by bus. It was great training for me because in a management career, a sales job is a great way to reach the top. PSI turned out to be a wonderful place to learn because of its R&D capability. The company had been co-founded by 2 Stanford graduates, Dr. V.K. Ravindran and Vinay Deshpande, who believed that there was scope for and need to create private sector R&D in India. At that time, the Indian Navy had several third-generation missile control systems on board its ships based on Digital's PDP-11 technology. The U.S. government was controlling the export of such technology because of Cold War and India's political proximity to the USSR. A few scientists in the Department of Electronics were aware of PSI's R&D capabilities and entrusted it with developing indigenous PDP-11 technology so that India did not have to be at the mercy of the United States. This led to the creation of a new line of computers at PSI. But despite PSI's great R&D, the company was not commercially successful with its line of products. A time came when the company went into default in paying salaries to its employees. Satrajit Majumdar, head of sales and marketing at PSI, was hired by MMC Digital Systems, a computer company started by the Mahindras. He asked me to come along to work with him as a product manager. This meant a departure from pure sales into marketing for me. Despite my reasonably successful migration into sales, I felt I was cerebrally more tuned to product management and also wanted the experience of a staff assignment working for a senior executive in a corporate role as against a frontline job like selling. However, my stint at MMC ended barely a year after I joined because the company was wound up. The management had underestimated the power of investment required and lacked staying power. Further, the senior management of the company was drawn from the textile machinery manufacturing business of the group. They were unable to understand the chaotic rhythm of the IT industry.